about getting informed and up to date about a local group, the Kinnexu Land Trust. You know, I'm thinking that we have all heard bits and pieces about this organization, but today we're going to get into the details. We're really going to dig in. And Marcy, I want to tell you, we're going to get into your business today.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Here to help us is Marcy Timlin. Marcy is the Director of Communications for the Kinnexu Land Trust, and I appreciate your being with us today. So we have lots to talk about, and we're going to get to it right after this.
We have 42 years of combined experience and are very proud to provide the Sandpoint area with quality, competitive companies and exceptional service.
For all your insurance needs, whether it's life, health, home, auto, or commercial coverage, Scott and I are available to assist you in determining what coverage meets you and your family's needs.
We are located in the old Powerhouse building, Suite 203, so come on down and see us, or check us out on the web, Albertson Barlow Insurance.
Woods Hay and Grain is your source for a wide selection of fresh and locally grown livestock feed. Whether you have cattle, pigs, chickens, horses, or goats, Woods Hay and Grain has the expertise and feed you're looking for. Be sure to go online and like the Woods Hay and Grain Facebook page. It's the place to find out when they'll be expecting chicks this month. Woods Hay and Grain, just 5 miles north of Ponderay on Highway 95.
Bonner's Ferry Pupuseria is a new restaurant in downtown Bonner's Ferry, across from the post office. Elva serves the national dish of El Salvador, pupusas. Pupusas are gluten-free corn flour stuffed with a mix of pork, cheese, beans, and spinach. She also has chicken and pork tamales. Jay serves a great American menu. Macaroni salad, BLTs, guacamole and chips, steak burritos, garlic goat cheese lamb burgers, rice pudding, and more. All at Bonner's Ferry Pupuseria in downtown Bonner's Ferry, across from the post office.
I'm Tiffany. I have some tips for you on how to quit smoking like I did. First, I did some reading about it. I found a lot of great advice on how to quit smoking and picked out the ways I thought would work best for me. I started by setting a quit date. Then I threw out my ashtrays, lighters, and matches. I did other things, too, like exercising more, and it worked. But I'd still get cravings, especially on long car rides. To help me with that, I put a picture of my mother in my car. She died of lung cancer from smoking cigarettes when I was only 16. Now I have a 16-year-old daughter. That picture of my mother reminds me that I don't want to miss all the things my daughter is going to do in her life, including turning 17.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
Bi-Mart's new savings book is out now. In it, you'll find 16 pages filled with great deals for you and your family. We've got savings on Easter essentials and outdoor planting mix for your garden. Plus 30% off Ferry Morris flower and vegetable seeds and a great sale on Scott's Weed and Feed. We're closed on Easter so our employees can be with their families, so grab these deals by April 3rd. Bi-Mart, employee-owned, real value every day.
See our schedule, check our helpful links, or stream us anywhere, all at NorthIdahoRadio.com.
Welcome back, and everyone, join me and say welcome to Marcy Timlin, Director of Communications at the Kinnexu Land Trust. Marcy, thank you for being here again.
And thank you.
When did you come on board with the Kinnexu Land Trust?
So I'm just a baby, Barb. I just started in November. I was previously with the library for about 6 years. And so, but my background is in conservation and outdoor natural resources and that sort of thing. So I feel like I'm just right at home, even though I haven't been there too long.
Well, this is wonderful then, because we're in not the same position, but I just feel like I was telling you before we went on the air that it's like everyone I talked to today about who was going to be on the show, and I'd say Kinnexu Land Trust, they're like, oh, yeah, you know, I've heard of them, but I don't know anything about them. Mm-hmm. And so this is just seems like a really timely show for a lot of people to, as I said, dig in a little bit and really find out what you guys are all about.
Yeah.
So You gave me a few notes, and what I love your heading on this one. It's KLT 101.
That's right.
This is like the primer.
Yeah.
So give us an overview of what the programs are and what the mission of the Kinnexu Land Trust is.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, and I think you're right. I think a lot of people have kind of heard of us. They associate us maybe with Pine Street Woods or with some of the nature programs we do. But we are a land trust. And so our mission is caring for the lands and people of the Kinnexu region today, tomorrow, and forever. So we are a land conservation organization. And our three primary values, though, are conservation, connection, and community. So like a traditional land trust would be, and we are a traditional land trust, but the basic premise of traditionally what a land trust would stand for is that we would protect lands for the future and work with landowners to create agreements with them to help them to protect their land from certain types of development for future generations. And so we do that. And then our service area, actually some people are somewhat surprised that our service area actually extends beyond Bonner County, but mm-hmm. it really follows the historical range of the Kalispell, Coeur d'Alene, and Kootenai mm-hmm. tribe. And so it's kind of roughly from Plains, Montana, along the Clark Fork River to Lake Ponderay in here in Idaho, and continues along the Ponderay River to the Washington border and into Sanders County, Montana, parts of Bonner and Boundary County in Idaho.
So following that geographical area, was that just because it happened that way, or was that like a laid out area that the trust, the people of the trust said, you know, we want to follow this area, or did it just happen that way?
I'm not sure the answer to that. I don't know how they came to really define that specific area. But questions like that, I know that Katie Cox would love
we'll
to. That's our executive director of Kinnexu Land Trust, and she loves it when people ask her questions like that.
Excellent.
So that would be
great. I'm going to put that on my list. Ladies and gentlemen, I've already told Marcy I'm going to have her back in the fall because we've got so much to talk about. We're going to put that question.
Great.
So another question occurred to me, and that is your definition of a land trust is really good to hear. I know there are different funding streams for different land trusts. What are the funding streams or the income streams for the Kinnexu Land Trust?
For us, you know, primarily it's with voluntary contributions from individuals. That's primarily where we get most of our funding. Without our individual supporters, there is no way we could do all the things that we're doing. And you'll hear about a lot of the things that we're doing that are really out of the box things. But so we have a wonderful constituency of people who love the land, and they love the connections that we're making with people and partnerships and things like this. And it's really close to their hearts.
You know, Marcy, that's really impressive because so many land trusts, at least at the very beginning and throughout, they have like sustained like estates that have left, you know, like foundation money and inheritance money, and it's a big block of money. And then, you know, there's sustaining contributions. So that is very impressive that so many of your income streams are individuals in a way, families.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And
certainly
we get, you know, grants. That's a secondary form of a funding stream for us. And there are occasions where people have donated land. So a variety of ways. But ultimately, it just comes down to our mission is a mission that's really relevant to people, and they want to support it.
When you work with farmers, you mentioned working with landowners. They maintain ownership, but they come into some kind of a covenant agreement that they will not allow development on their property, and I guess that would be go forward to whoever inherits that land. Is it that you would pay them some kind of money to ensure that, or it's just they enter in voluntarily to this agreement usually?
Yes, it's definitely a voluntary agreement. And different agreements look differently depending on what they have. Our conservation director, Regan Plum, she has a really great analogy that she uses, and she talks about a pencil box and how a land agreement might have, it's full of pencils, but there are certain pencils that maybe you take out. And so one of those might be, that you can never build a gigantic hotel on this, particular land or whatever. There are some that do allow public access. Most don't. So different things like that. But Regan has been doing this for quite a long time, and she's really amazing. If people are interested in learning more of the details about kind of the variables with land use agreements and conservation agreements, Regan is definitely the person to talk to. She's
really
great.
Really interesting, because there are lots of different kinds of land trusts, like any kind of a contract.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you're conserving land, conservation, connection, and community. I like that. A lot of people might say, Idaho's got lots of public land. Why do we need to conserve more? How do you respond to that?
Sure. Well, I think the first thing I think of is, as a landowner myself, and I think of my little corner of the earth that my husband and I share, and it's on a family property, and I would sure love to see that continue to be something that would sustain itself for a long time. And so just for me personally, and for landowners personally, they might like to see their land protected in such a way that if their great, 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 great grandson, who's a land developer, ever wanted to, put a water slide park there or something like that, they could have some control over what would happen.
Exactly.
So that's primarily it. But also, having these large tracts of land that are interconnected for wildlife habitat and for protection, land is just gobbled up and developed. And so this would ensure that some of these larger tracts of connected pieces of land could be protected.
Yeah.
Just public access is another thing.
And I want to get to – I have a quick question on this.
Sure.
The great-great-great-great-grandson.
Okay.
Can – if someone sells the land, it doesn't stay in the family, is this like some kind of a lien on the title that follows? So whoever the new buyer is, they also are obligated to this kind of protection. They have a restriction on that land when they buy it.
So I don't know enough yet as being fairly new to this part of land conservancy, but so I don't know if I can use the word lien, but it is an agreement that is attached to the property.
That's excellent.
But those people can certainly sell the property. It's a characteristic that just goes along with
that
property.
Yeah, excellent. All right. Well, you mentioned public access. I think that's something that really interests a lot of people. So talk about what kind of public access you have on your properties.
Okay. So it is kind of interesting that many of the landowners that we work with, most of the time, these agreements, people want to protect their land for a variety of reasons. But typically it's not so that they can invite other people to be on their property.
Mm-hmm.
But interestingly, quite a few of the agreements that we're working on currently have a public access aspect to them. And so when we'll talk a little later in the show about Pine Street Woods and the Syringa Trail Network. But that's an interesting mixture there, because Kiniksu Land Trust actually owns Pine Street Woods, thanks to all of your listeners and our supporters. But the Kiniksu or the Syringa Trail system is actually not owned by Kiniksu Land Trust, and it is privately owned, and it has a public access aspect.
You know, public access, when I think about public access, I suppose the first thing we think about are hiking trails and, just getting onto the properties and enjoying. But then other things come to mind. What about hunting? I mean, as you know, are there particular properties where hunting is allowed or is not allowed? Fishing allowed, not allowed? And I was thinking about timber management. So let's take those. And what kind of access is offered on these properties?
Yeah, great questions. So that, of course, would just depend on the landowner. That sounds like a pencil box.
Yeah, exactly.
Piece to me. And again, that would be something that our conservation director, Regan Plum, could really get down to the specifics with you. And maybe next time we come on the air, we could invite Regan to come with us and she could answer more. We could really talk more in detail about that. That mm-hmm. conservation piece. And then the second part of your question was?
I don't remember.
Okay.
But it had to do with hunting.
Oh, right.
Well, there's also the timber management. Maybe yes. that one you can, because timber management is so important from mm-hmm. a conservation point of view, to not let everything just grow at will and then just get taken down by a terrible fire, but to actually manage the woods,
right.
which is not safe. That's so far away from clear cut, you can hardly get it in the same sentence.
Yeah.
You know, but
yeah.
just to manage the timber, how does that work?
So depending on which type of a property we're talking about. So if it's your property, of course, however that agreement is written, that's up to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you would just live within the stipulations of that agreement that you have agreed to.
Mm-hmm.
But with, say, Pine Street Woods, we actually have a land management plan that we work within the boundaries of. And so we do some interesting things with making sure that the land is managed properly. And it's I'll talk more about that a little bit later, but there's some really fun ways that we're able to do that are kind of out of the box but still keep us within our goals for Pine Street Woods and caring for the land.
All right. So conservation is, you mentioned that at the top of the list.
Mm-hmm.
And then you mentioned connectivity or connection. What falls under the heading of connection for the programs or the work that you do?
Mm-hmm. Well, we realized, I say we prior to my being here, but quite a few years ago, we realized that to really foster that conservation stewardship ethic, that we have to facilitate those kinds of connections with people and help them to really create a value for the land, of course, and many people already do. And then we do a lot of that through education, through community partnerships, so that we're sort of intersecting our mission with theirs and reaching different circles of people. And finding interesting ways to connect people to the land.
What kind of education programs do you have?
Yeah, so right now we do in-school programs, which include field trips, and we do many of those field trips at Pine Street Woods, and we also have another public property.
I want to be on one of those field trips to Pine Street Woods.
Yeah.
can I come along with one of those?
Anytime.
I would love
yes.
it. Me and the fifth graders or whoever. I'm
yeah.
serious.
Oh, it's
Get
it's
me
a blast.
I would love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we do have, we actually have a staff member who's in charge of our education program, because that has become such a prominent part of what we do. And so Dave Kretzmar is our education director. So he does those field trips. He coordinates with teachers and does off of school grounds field trips. But he also goes into the schools and works with kids there. And then we have after school programs as well, and particularly to kind of address that early release time and help in that way too. And then we have camps. So we have Camp Kinixu in the summer,
Ooh.
And we have Kinixu Winter Camp in the winter. And then we also just...
Are these day camps,
these are
week camps?
Day and, yeah, they're, so some of them are overnight. And we will be setting up registration for Kinexu Summer Camp pretty shortly, so people can stay tuned on our website to see what's going on.
I just heard every parent in Boundary and Bonner County, their ears just picked up on that.
Yeah, it's very popular.
It's absolutely. Yeah. Get your kids out for a day trip or an overnight trip in the woods with people that can teach them about it and talk to them about it. That's a goal.
And Dave's great. The kids love him.
Yeah.
He also just started a new education program for adults. And so that's the Kinexu Folk School. And so we've had two classes in the folk school so far where he had really highly qualified instructors that would come and do handcraft instruction for like beginner level.
Crafty things, you mean?
Yeah. So this most recent one was a spoon carving, so people could carve spoons out of wood. And then the one before that was a basket weaving class. So you could, earlier you and I off the air, we were talking about gardening. And so you could make a weaved basket to put on your back and harvest your vegetables or, you know, whatever you wanted to do there.
Okay.
And then we have four more classes for the spring season, and then we'll launch the summer season.
All right. Now, all of these classes are listed on your website.
Yes.
So people can find out about them. They can register for them online or call if they have questions. Let's give our audience your website right now so they can note that down and follow up, because we're not going to get to everything today.
Sure. So our website is www.kinexu.org.
All right, www.kinexu.org. That's easy, and we're going to let that be our first break. We're going to do a little business of our own right now, and we'll be right back.
Hello, this is Nevin Neal, pastor of Bonner's Ferry Baptist Church, and the Bible declares in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6, "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find?" And then in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, it says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The conclusion? Most men see themselves differently than God does. Most men see their own goodness, while God declares that all men are sinners. How about you today, my friend? Will your judgment of yourself be faithful or faulty, true or tainted? Have you seen yourself as a sinner short of God's glory, in need of God's mercy, or have you proclaimed your own goodness? If you would like to contact us, you can reach us here at Bonner's Ferry Baptist Church at 267-3746 or find us at bfbaptist.com.
Biden, Harris, Schumer, Pelosi, Bloomberg, and Soros. They want our guns, and they expect Idaho police officers to confiscate them. How to stop this? Senator Christie Zitto's bill, HB 300, fortifying our Second Amendment Protection Act. Zitto's law not only prevents state and local police from enforcing federal gun laws, it requires the state to defend those rights all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. Precedent is on our side. Decades ago, the Supreme Court said states are not required to enforce federal gun laws, and Senator Zitto's bill makes sure Idaho defends those rights. But this won't happen, and Biden will win if moderates like Committee Chair Patty Ann Lodge kill HB 300. Stop them. Go to dislodge300.com and tell your legislators to pass HB 300 now, so our police can go back to arresting real criminals, not enforcing Biden's gun laws, paid for by the Idaho Second Amendment Alliance.
My daughter is Marina. Marina has a rare form of children's eye cancer, retinoblastoma. Her doctor sent us to a specialist, and then the specialist sent us to St. Jude. Within the first couple weeks of us getting here, I was just so scared. Like, I think the reality just hit me, and it kind of hit me all at once. I had started to cry, and her doctor came in, Dr. Brennan came in, and just didn't even say anything, sat down beside me, and, like, hugged me. And held me while I, like, was literally sobbing. And she just said, "It's going to be okay. We don't have to worry anymore. The treatment worked, and we've saved her eye. This place has been such a blessing for us. There's no way we could have paid for treatment back home if we had to. We can come here, and we can just solely focus on taking care of her and helping her heal."
Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
North Idaho's Radio, 97.1 FM.
Hey, everybody, welcome in. Our guest today is Marcy Timblin, and it's all about the Kinnexu Land Trust. And I am glad that you're all joining in with us today and getting up to date on the KLT. Marcy, I've talked to you about Pine Street Woods. I don't know anything about the Syringa Trail Network, so I feel like a complete newbie here. Let's get started. Pine Street Woods. Where is it? Where's the signage to tell me where to park and where to go?
Good questions, Barbara. I think there are questions a lot of people have. I know I wondered when I was hearing all this about Pine Street Woods, and my husband and I were like, where is it? How do we get there? And so first I'll just say that you can find directions on our website at kinnexu.org. So if you forget what I'm telling you, but really all you need to do is drive up Pine Street. And you're just going to keep going past the Monarch School, just drive up Pine Street. It's about 2 miles out of town. And you will see a sign on your right that says Pine Street Woods. And almost immediately thereafter, you'll look on your left and there will be a gate. And there's a Kinnexu Land Trust sign on the gate. And you just go up. It's actually a very nice road. There's a beautiful parking lot at the top.
Is the gate like automatic opening? You have to get out and open the gate?
You do not have to open it. Nope. You'll see it.
A gate like that. Like
an arch? No. It's not that ornate. It's more like a kind of a cattle gate, I guess you could say. You'll drive up this nice, beautiful road. And you'll see a big, beautiful parking area up there at the top. And you'll know you're there.
I am trying to figure out where I was because none of this is ringing a bell. I must have been on I was lost. I don't know where I was. So, okay, I'm going to drive up there and find it. And I want to go on the adventure thing with the kids. Okay, whatever that was.
I'll put a bug in Dave's ear for
exactly.
you.
Exactly. I want to go. All right, so Pine Street Woods. So we look for the signage. We look to the left. There's a gate, and we go up. Beautiful parking. And is there one trail that goes around? Do we have options for how long and how far we want to walk?
That's what's so wonderful, I think, about Pine Street Woods, because it really caters to any user type. It's a multi-use trail system. So, so once you get to the trailhead, you'll see that there are several options for directions that you can go to. You'll see our recreation area, our recreation building there. And then, there's a map. There's a kiosk that you can walk up to and look at the map. And, you know, I actually really encourage people to just get their phone out and take a picture of the map before they go for a walk. If you're anything like me, I am directionally challenged. I walk into a building and I can't find my way back out again. You'll have to show me how to get out of here today. that's a great thing. We don't actually have printed maps just because that tends to end up as litter, but having it on your phone is a really great idea. Lots of wide trails, narrow trails. Our wide trails are maintained by a partnership with Sandpoint Nordic Club, and then the narrow trails are mostly maintained by Pondere Peddlers.
Okay.
And then, of course, we maintain them as well.
So bikes are allowed.
Sure.
Dogs are allowed.
Sure.
Of course, runners, walkers, joggers.
Cartwheelers. Yep, you name
however,
it.
But nothing motorized.
Nothing motorized. It's wheelchair accessible if you take the wide trails. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. They're not paved, though.
No.
Okay, but they're wide enough and smooth enough that a wheelchair won't get bogged down.
Right.
At least unless there's snow or something.
Yeah, it's a little weird right now, but the trails are open. They were closed for 6 weeks. And so we had a lot of people who were extremely supportive and understanding, but it was a difficult time for
people. Why were they closed?
Just because of the mud. It got really bad. We just had unusual frost this year, and it really did some a number of
trails. Typically during the winter, it's open for cross country skiing or snowshoeing, which I personally will never do again. Honestly,
why?
The snowshoes are like clown shoes. First of all, they're about 8 feet long. And they're detached at the back, but only attached in the front. So they just go flopping around. I don't know.
It just felt weird to you.
It was beyond weird. It was the ever famous, I've fallen, I can't get up. I couldn't get these great big things under me to get up. Yeah, it was ridiculous. Okay,
That's
I'm finished with snowshoeing. All right, I digress. So, okay, Pine Street Woods, just go to the end of Pine Street and follow your nose and follow the signage. Where is the Syringa Trail Network?
So they do, they are integrated. So, but you can, the Greta Segway, and there are a lot of different trail names within the Syringa Trail system. And so if you, where most people are familiar with driving to before we had the Pine Street Woods road and parking lot, people would just go up Pine Street Woods. They'd see Pine Street Hill, and there's a little parking spot there. And really, you could only fit
about five cars. Right at the bottom of the hill? That's where I was.
Okay, yeah. See, you did what most people do. You didn't do anything wrong. There is a trailhead there. But that is part of the Greta Segway, and maybe you're familiar with the Sherwood Forest. Mm-hmm. So that's all part of the Syringa Trail Network.
So when I was there at the Greta Gateway, the Greta, what is it, entrance Segway, where was I in relation to this signage for Pine Street Woods and the gate and everything?
So you hadn't reached it yet. So that's like a parking lot that you can go to if you just want to, if you want to start there.
Okay.
It will eventually, you can, access the Pine Street Woods trails from there. But if you want to, get up to Pine Street Woods and access it from the parking lot, you'll just keep going, keep driving up the road past the school, and you'll eventually get to it.
That was my mistake. I stopped. I saw this little tiny muddy parking lot, and I said, you know what? This cannot be right, because it was very small, very muddy.
Right. Yeah. Well, hopefully this reaches enough people because I think this is such a common thing that happens.
It's like, just keep going.
Yeah.
Just keep going. Okay. So, Pine Street Woods, did you give us the mileage you may have and I missed it? Pine Street Woods, I mean, if you do the whole loop or whatever it is, it's X, and then the Syringa Trail is how many miles? I mean, what could be the total miles that you could? Good question.
Yeah, because there are so many, there is
options.
A network. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a 180-acre parcel. Which is actually 20 acres of that was a donation, was a land donation by a generous landowner who wanted to see the land protected. There's actually a kind of a neat little video about that landowner and why he chose to donate that to Kinnexu Land Trust on our YouTube channel.
Oh, nice.
So 180 acres, and that's just Pine Street Woods alone. So.
And then the whole, what's the total acreage that's a part of the land trust, more or less? Do you have that number?
So, yes. So as far as what we own, it's 180 acres.
Okay.
I don't know exactly how many more acres the rest of the trail network is, if you just include the Syringa Trail
Network. I was thinking about the entire land trust from like Plains, Montana, across, and going over into Sanders County, whether you own it or not, but the whole
good
trust.
Question. Yeah. I'm not sure.
It's got to be a lot of acres. Put that down. That's a really good question.
That's
another
so you can ask
question.
Me that in the fall.
Okay. Hang in there, everybody. We're going to get these answers to you. So when does Pine Street Woods and the Syringa Trail, they are open now?
Yes. There are a couple of the trails that are still closed, and they're marked. So we just ask people to respect that, and by and large people do. So it will have either right now we do have barriers across across those trails, and then from time to time you'll see a trail that is either being decommissioned or it is closed for one reason or another. And sometimes we just have debris across the entrance of the trail, and so that's just a sign to stay off that part of the trail.
It's nature at work, and I was wondering if what kind of an impact you had with this recent windstorm. If that affected any parts of your trail up there, or do you know yet? Has it been assessed?
I don't personally know that yet. Because, that was quite the windstorm we just had, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Did you lose power?
No.
No? Good.
No.
Yeah, I didn't
All
either,
good.
But a lot of people did.
Yeah.
I don't know to what extent. I didn't get a report on that before I came in today. And then with it being closed for so long. We actually just opened it back up again. Yeah. So
another question about trails being open or closed. I mean, it is a lot of work to maintain trails, to, like you say, to get debris off, whether it's just natural deadfall or a windstorm. And I can't imagine that you have staff to do that. Do you depend on staff and volunteers? You have work parties that go out and work through a trail? Mm-hmm. How does that happen?
Yeah. So a variety of ways. As staff, we do, you know, we all use the trails. And so if there's something that we can do while we're there that is fairly simple, of course, we can do that. Some of our staff do go up there and just have work days where they get up there and take care of some things. We also, I mentioned before, we have a couple of strategic partnerships with Pondre Peddlers and Sandpoint Nordic Club, and they have regular work parties up there on the trails.
Okay.
We have an Earth Day work party coming up, which you're invited. Everyone's invited to come up, and that'll be on the 24th of April. We have a wonderful force of volunteers that help us with trail maintenance, and then as I kind of alluded to before, we have some kind of neat things that we're doing for our land management practices, and so one of those things that we do, for instance, is we just had a partnership with the Bonner Soil and Water Conservation District, and we got together and purchased a mill, and so we'll be making wood products on site with the down trees, mm-hmm. and creating our own lumber. We'll use that for an educational tool as mm-hmm. well, which will be kind of neat, and then we'll be able to maybe develop a little bit of an income stream for Pine Street Woods by creating some lumber.
Milling some of your timber. Yeah. Which falls into the category of, you know, land timber management and taking care of the woods in a healthy way and turning that into an income stream.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, pretty
All
neat.
Right. It is neat. We're up against another break. We're going to take that break right now. We'll be right back.
BF Quick Lube at the top of the South Hill does more than just lubes and oil changes. They do them quick. Just stop by or call and make an appointment at 208-267-7481. Along with regular maintenance, BF Quick Lube can handle most of your other auto repairs. BF Quick Lube would like to take this time to say thank you to each of their customers for putting their trust and support in their services year after year. For a quick lube and oil change and so much more, visit your friends at BF Quick Lube on the South Hill in Bonner's Ferry.
It's tax time again, and keeping up with the ever-changing tax laws can be a chore. Rhodes Tax Service in Bonner's Ferry has been providing professional tax service for 35 years. Rhodes Tax Service will give you a one-on-one consultation for individual and business tax preparation. They'll help you understand what is going on with your taxes and what changes must be made this year. If you need the guidance of an experienced tax professional, Rhodes Tax Service is here to help. They provide electronic filing, direct deposit, or you can use the Walmart Money Card. To find out more about what they can do to help you, call Rhodes Tax Service today at 208-267-1040 or 1-888-788-1040. Or if you prefer, you can stop by their office just off of Highway 95, one block north of Super One Foods in Bonner's Ferry. They also offer a website for payroll at w4payroll.com. Rhodes Tax Service wishes you a great year, and they hope to see you soon. Rhodes Tax Service, 208-267-1040.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Bi-Mart's new savings book is out now. In it, you'll find 16 pages filled with great deals for you and your family. We've got savings on Easter essentials and outdoor planting mix for your garden. Plus 30% off Ferry Morse flower and vegetable seeds and a great sale on Scott's Weed and Feed. We're closed on Easter so our employees can be with their families, so grab these deals by April 3rd. Bi-Mart, employee-owned, real value every day.
97.1 FM, 1450 KBFI, and 1400 KSPT.
All right, everyone. We are talking with Marcy Timlin today about the K'nixu Land Trust. There's so much good information and so much good work that this organization is doing. And Marcy was just telling me on the break that there's another area. We talked about Pine Street Woods. We talked about Syringa Trail Network. But there's another area out past Clark Fork, right into Montana, called the Cabinet View Nature Area. Tell us about that.
It is a beautiful piece of property that we recently acquired. The owner donated the entire piece to K'nixu Land Trust.
Wow.
And it is a public access property, and it's a little bit different just in that the primary purpose for that piece is conservation. It's like a little conservatory area, and there's water life and it's absolutely exquisite. It's beautiful.
Is it open?
But it's open to the public. And we even have, you know, school groups and things like that that go out there that maybe from the Clark Fork schools. And it's absolutely gorgeous. And so you'll actually see a big sign right at the trailhead.
Yay.
So if you drive.
Highway 200.
Yes. And I'm actually going to leave it to our website to give directions, because you may remember that I said that I get lost inside of a building, and I don't want to direct people the wrong way. But yeah, definitely I encourage people to go out there do some wildlife viewing.
I want to go find that, and I want to go on the tour for that one also. Cabinet View Nature Area sounds wonderful. That is such a beautiful area, that mm-hmm. whole drive from Sandpoint out through Hope and Clark Fork and the Cabinet Mountains and the lake and then on into Montana.
Right.
It's just gorgeous.
Yes.
Yeah. One of the things that we want to touch on is how your work, and you've mentioned some of it, how does your work impact our community? We've talked about, you know, kids having educational programs, but you have a note here that I'm looking at that talked about access to nature and nutrition and how we are inclusive. This culture of conservation leads others to have a heart for conservation in our area. Can you talk about that just a little bit, about your impact on the community?
Sure. And you mentioned the nutrition aspect of our education program. One of the things that I think is just so cool about that is that our camps and our education programs, we always include nutrition with that. A lot of times the kids get to cook their own meals. They, you know, sometimes even harvest their own meals or their own ingredients for their meals. And what's so inclusive about that is that it doesn't matter if the child attended camp via scholarship. It doesn't matter who they are. Everyone eats the same thing. Mm-hmm. Everyone gets the exact same experience. And so there isn't this thing where one child brought, you know, goldfish and another another child only brought Cheez-Its, you know, or something like that. It's
I'm not sure they brought goldfish. I think you meant tuna fish. I don't know.
Oh, you know, the little crackers, the little goldfish.
Oh, okay. Those things. Oh, my gosh. No, I didn't even think. I'm thinking goldfish. Marcy,
so
what? No, what's going on here? I love it.
So so it seems like kind of a little thing, but, you know, it's not a little thing. And we're very deliberate about the ways that we try to give these kids all the same wonderful experience and a very positive experience with nature, so that they go home and they tell their parents, and many times then the parents feel, believe it or not, we still have a lot of people in our area who are who don't get to take advantage of mm-hmm. outdoor experiences, whether just because of busy work schedules or because of accessibility because of where they live, or you know, income because it costs a lot of money to drive up into the high country, mm-hmm. and if you're not used to doing that, it can be intimidating. Mm-hmm. So sometimes people are surprised that even in North Idaho, we do have some barriers to people getting out in nature, but it's a real thing, and so we try to be real conscious of that and reach those people who aren't getting out there.
You know, I think it's very wise because, you know, venturing out on your own or even with another person or two way up into the high country on your own mm-hmm. is intimidating to me. Maybe I don't know why all that would be. I don't like bears, but to know that there's something closer to home and yet it's beautiful, it's nature, it's accessible, and it's free of charge, and I can contribute if I want. Praise God that we can, but I don't have to. I can just go enjoy and access it. I don't have to get up into the high country, and I don't know. I'd feel like I'd be in a little bit of danger. I know I've got tons of friends that are laughing at me right now, but I just think it's wonderful that it's this close to town and we have these areas that we can access. I want people to hear again how they can find out about your programs, how they can get involved, either volunteering, giving, or participating, and about that Earth Day again. What a great opportunity to get involved there.
Sure. So, yeah, I mean, anyone who has an interest or a talent or something like that at all in nature or anything we're doing is welcome to pop in and talk to us or give us a call or an email or whatever. We really welcome people just conversing with us about their interests and seeing if there's a way that we can leverage that. And then also as far as any kind of financial or resource donation that they'd like to make, there are multiple ways that they can do that. And probably the first step is to just go to our website and, mm-hmm. and hit that big donate button. And if you don't find what you're looking for there, if there's some specific alternative way that you'd like to donate, we're set up to do that. So we'd love to hear more.
Kinixu.org is where you're going to go. What about upcoming events or other news?
You know? Okay. So we do have right now, I mentioned we're doing the Kinixu Folk School. You can find that on our website, the upcoming classes that we have for the rest of the spring, and then we'll have the summer season launching pretty soon. So we have that on the website. We also have Camp Kinixu on tap that will be happening this summer, and information is on our website right now. Registration is not yet open, but you can also sign up for our newsletter from our website, and you'll get one of the first alerts about when registration opens that way if you're a subscriber. We have a couple of other interesting things lined up. We do have the Earth Day cleanup coming up on the 24th, and we don't have that published on the website at this point yet. So if you have questions about that, you can give us a call or just stay tuned.
That's April 24th. That's a ways off. People can plan that. Get that on your calendar.
Yep. And then we have a couple of fun fundraising events. So we have a Pairings in the Pines coming up, and that has limited attendance, and we'll have some more information on our website about that shortly. And then we do have a fun run, kind of a trail running event coming up in the fall, and it's called Run for the Woods.
Oh, that just all sounds so great. Marcy, thank you so much for being with us today. I can't believe our time has run out. What a lot of good information for us. Kinixu.org is where you'll go to get all the information and registrations that you need. Next week, my guest is going to be our bird nerd, Mike Turnlin. I love birds, and Mike has a wealth of information and truth about these winged beauties. Next week, we're looking at songbirds. They are so sweet, but they have kind of, you know, they've got a side that you want to be careful of. They're called the passerines. I'm looking forward to this conversation. I hope you'll be here too. Until then, this is Barbara saying thanks and be blessed.